there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 327 of The Next Step, a podcast that, well, puts it all together, that connects the dots between the physical and the spiritual and the emotional, between the contemporary and the ancient. In fact, it looks at the very fabric of our being through the lens of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armodox look is brought to you by the people at epostle.net. If you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. Well, hello, I'm so glad you're with us today. I'm going to start off with a quote today. It's by Rose Kennedy, a woman who has certainly seen enough tragedy in her life. It says, "It has been said, time heals all wounds. I do not agree. The wounds remain. In time, the mind, protecting its sanity, covers them with scar tissue, and the pain lessens. But it is never gone." Rose Kennedy, a quote, thought it appropriate to start off today. It is 9/11, September 11th, and it is much more than an act of violence against the United States, but I think the entire world has changed since that initial 9/11, September 11th in 2001. And it gives us a little time to reflect on, well, on what's happened in the world. And certainly last night, seeing President Obama talk about the ISIS situation, is that what we call it, situation, or what's going on with the Islamic State over there in Iraq? And he alluded to 9/11 being today. Of course, gave us all a moment to stop and wonder what has happened to our world in the last 13 years. And certainly when we come on The Next Step, it's exactly about these things. And I love that Rose Kennedy quote because, you know, people say, you know, time heals, or, you know, in time you will forget. You can't forget some of this stuff. And I love it because she says it forms scar tissues. And those scar tissues make you a little bit tougher for the next time around. Unfortunately, we get so tough that we sometimes forget the mellow side of life, too. So I thought I'd start off with that, and I want to welcome you to The Next Step. I don't know if you're running or crawling in this step of life right now, but I was walking. I just finished the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. It took place in Santa Barbara. We walked 40 miles. I know, 39.3. But when you add up all those times back and forth to the car, to the tent site, to the different events and everything, I suspect it was more like a little bit over 40 miles. In fact, there's about 2,000 people that are part of this walk. And, you know, as you're walking, there's like hundreds of people around you, and different portions of that 40 miles, it sometimes lessens. It gets a little bit dense at certain times. We were walking on one sidewalk where there was a tree, and they could only bring it down to one lane, and the local police were helping us get down to that one lane. So it was actually one person at a time past that tree. So over there, of course, the bottleneck. And other portions of the walk, you know, you're walking alone, and it's just so beautiful out in Santa Barbara that you forget about the pain in your feet, in your legs. But I was listening to a couple people talking, because you're walking around with different people all the time, people passing you, some people you pass, and a couple ladies were talking that toward the end of the walk, that this isn't 39 miles, because they had logged it on their iPhones, you know, and they had this app, and they were saying, you know, yesterday and today, this is not 40 miles, it's more like 42 miles. So I don't know who to believe, but you know what? We did a walk-in. It wasn't a matter of 39 miles, 40, 42 miles. It was a matter of making a statement that breast cancer is something that hits and something that has to be dealt with. Very interesting little, I don't want to say game that they play, but it is more like a little activity that they have throughout the walk. For the entire amount of the walk, it started, let's say, Saturday morning at 7 o'clock we started walking, and we finished around Sunday around 1 o'clock, with, of course, the break for evening. We camped out in tents in Santa Barbara. So I don't know exactly how long the walk was, how long we were walking, but they have this tradition that every 3 minutes they hand out a ribbon. And the significance of that is that they want to remind you that every 3 minutes a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. So at the end of the walk, there were over 600, I think it was 640 ribbons that were passed out. And we actually woke up Sunday morning in our tent, and there was a ribbon on our tent. So it just goes to show that, you know, it's not a question of day or night. Every 3 minutes, a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. And I naturally, instinctively said a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer, but interestingly enough, men are diagnosed as well. I don't know what the statistic is. It's not as frequently as women, but certainly there are cases. And one of our groups, Team In Her Shoes, one of our group members was walking she was aware of breast cancer because not only had her mother endured 3 bouts of the breast cancer, but her husband was diagnosed a couple years ago with breast cancer. And she was selected by the Avon group to get up and give a speech, just as a reminder that, you know, this is not a woman's disease. This is a disease that hits across genders, all 2 genders. But I think it was a very emotional speech that I heard her give, and I know everybody was very moved by her words, that, you know, she was walking there for her husband. Now, the ratio, of course, men to women, is probably about the same how often it hits as it was the ratio of how many men were walking with the women. I know one thing, at the end of the day, there were like these 3 giant trailers. These are huge trailers, you know, like that you see on the back of trucks, and they were set up as shower units. And so as a man, hey, guess what? I didn't have to stand in line. The men's shower was, I think it was just one of the trailers, or maybe half of the trailer, because they had allocated stalls according to gender. And, you know, we just went in there and you watch the women, they were just standing in line to get into their showers. And then there was a few brave women that, while we were showering, came at the door, and they said, "Do you guys mind if we come in?" And, of course, stalls, let me preface that, and we all were in our own stalls and everything, but it was just interesting because, you know, when you're out there one-on-one with people, when you're out there just on talking about such a sensitive issue and you're walking, it's not really about anything embarrassing. It's really trying to get the word out that breast cancer is something that needs to be dealt with, as are all cancers, as are all diseases, as are all difficulties and problems in the world. I walk because my sister was diagnosed twice with breast cancer. I walk because I endured some cancer that many of you Next Step listeners had went through it with me a few years ago. And I know that if you don't walk, what happens is it becomes a victim kind of thing. And cancer cannot claim you as a victim unless you allow it to. You need to be victorious about all of your difficulties, about all of your problems. Because one cancer is in your breast, one is in your colon, one is somewhere else. But guess what? Cancer is all around us in the attitudes that we have, in the way that we deal with things. What do you think 9/11 is, if not a big cancer in the world? What do you think that's going on with these terrorists? Is that not a cancer? And so the minute you allow them to be victorious over you, you've lost. I'll never forget a very close friend of mine when I was first diagnosed. She told me, she said, Dr. Voskin, listen, you don't have cancer. What you have is you have a tumor inside of you. Get rid of it and you don't have cancer. And it was such a simple little statement, but it was so true. Get rid of it and you don't have the cancer. I mean, you have a few options. You can sit back and say, okay, the cancer is doing this or that, or you can get rid of it. And there are many, many ways of getting rid of it. I know it's not as easy. It's easier said than done, right? There are certain cancers that are very difficult to overcome. But you get the general idea. It is a question of attitude. It's a question of can you change your lifestyle? Can you change your being? Can you change the world around you? Big questions that we struggle with all the time on The Next Step. And in this ministry, especially in His Shoes, it's about walking in the shoes of others. And figuratively speaking, very literally speaking, that's what we did. We walked in the shoes of others. Team in her shoes. It was walking in her shoes, walking in his shoes, walking with cancer victims, walking with cancer patients, walking in their shoes, understanding their pain. After 40 miles, you certainly have pain of your own, right? And you stop and you think, okay, what am I doing? I wrote a small little piece, if you got a chance to see it on Facebook, but it was my reflections on the last day. We were all gathered together, something like 2,000 of us in front of a big grandstand, and they were applauding and there was a lot of cheering. We had finished the 40 miles. And towards the end of the walk, one of our young mothers, she said, you know, you never, when you're in labor having a baby, you don't think about having another baby. You don't think about getting pregnant again. But after labor, after you have that child, then you entertain the thought that, hey, this isn't too bad. And it was interesting because when she said it, I didn't really think of it that deeply. But there I was in front of the grandstand, 2,000 people, and you know, the first thing I'm thinking in my head, I am not doing this again. I will not do this again. This was a lot, you know, and there's better ways. You know, I'll write out my check and everything. And there I was standing, and I looked over, and you see the people, you see the survivors. You see them in different colored shirts to set them apart. And you reflect on the people in your life that you're walking for. You remember your sister, you remember your mother, you remember the children that you have, and what kind of world that they're going to live in. And I looked over and there was a cancer patient, bald head and all, going through radiation treatment. And she was walking with us. And I thought for a moment, you know, we're going to do it again. We'll walk again. I mean, yeah, you do it, all right? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to walk in the shoes of others. And yeah, it was an interesting moment, okay? I've never gone through childbirth. I've certainly watched my wife deliver it. I know there's a lot of pain involved, sometimes unbearable pain. I know that many women have alluded to the fact that there's a reason why men can't have children. They can't endure that pain. But certainly walking 40 miles, you go through a certain level of pain over there. And it made a lot of sense. Hey, while you're delivering a child, going through that pain, you do not want to go through this again. Hey, what was in that drink they gave me when I got pregnant? What was in the drink that they gave me when I signed on the dotted line, you know, to do this walk? And then it all makes sense at the end of it when you realize you've made a change in the world. Albeit a small one, drops in the bucket, right? drops in the ocean, they say. But it does take those drops to make the big change, whether it's in your life or on a grander scale, on a bigger scale. So with that, why don't we take a little break right now? I've been playing around with some music, different things. I'll share with you some ideas about different music and how it touches us. I've got to be honest with you. If I didn't have music, I don't know how I'd get through some of life's difficulties. We're going to talk a little bit about that because I discovered some songs recently that I want to share with you. And it's really in a different direction than we talk about here on The Next Step. But I think you might enjoy that. We're going to also talk about the Exaltation of the Holy Cross coming up, a big feast day in the Armenian Church this coming Sunday. And then, I don't know if you've been following, we've been doing mysteries, exploration of the mysteries of the Divine Liturgy. It is a series of studies that we're doing. And we are now, we just finished the second one. I want to share with you some ideas about that, about this Divine Liturgy, this Holy Badarak that takes place every Sunday. How does that relate to our lives on a daily basis? How does that relate to us as people? Yeah, that's what we're all about too, okay? Let's get into the song of the day right now, okay? Gospelship by Joan Baez. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check out this song and all of her great music. I guess you figured why I played that, huh? Just the feeling of being with a couple thousand people, being together, united on one front. I said a few minutes ago that I was playing around with some music recently. Music is such a big part of my life. It always has been. And really, it just It brings about so many different emotions. Happiness, there's a lot of joy in music. There's a lot of sadness too. You know, you think about somebody like Neil Young and, you know, some of the depressing songs that he writes. Or like, let's say country music. Not a big fan of it myself, but I know that the lyrics always, there's a standard joke out there. What do you get when you play country music in reverse? You get your wife back, you get your car back, your house comes out of repossession, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the depressing things of life go away. Well, in Forward Motion, we talk about a lot of those depressing things in our lives. And so I don't know what it is about music, but sometimes when we go down, we also like to listen to some down music as well. Interesting, a few days ago, I was battling a real bad case of insomnia one night. And the following day, we were listening to, I had some classical music going on, a classical station on the radio. And I was just listening to this song. I says, this is very nocturnal. You know, it really brings you, it will bring about some sleep. I got to keep this in mind. And sure enough, when the announcer came on and said that this is Chopin's Nocturnes, a selection from the Nocturnes, I go, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, just you feel it. You feel that it brings you that sleep. Well, I was going through my music collection the other day, and I came across an artist. There's actually a couple of them. My parents were born here in the United States and very much into the Armenian culture, so there was a lot of music that we grew up with, and a lot of albums, record albums. Some of these albums, these are the One Groove albums, okay? The 33, and even before that, we had a lot of 78 albums. And 78, this just refers to the number of spins it makes on the turntable. Now, I'm talking about ancient technology over here, okay? There was a turntable. It would rotate, and you would take a needle and place it on this, and the needle would amplify what was recorded on the groove. And the standard question is, how many grooves on a record? There's only one, because you would start it at the beginning, and your needle would travel. Okay? Different from random access memory, this was analog. And so it would just, the record would spin and the needle would travel. So there were three variations, if I'm not mistaken. There was the 78, very high speed, that usually contained one song on that platter. There was the 45s, which was a small version. It was a smaller a disc, and that usually contained one song. But there were the record albums, which were recorded at 33 and a third RPMs, revolutions per minute. And we had a lot of these albums, different albums. But in particular, there was two artists. One was Guy Chukurian. The other one, I want to say his name was Eddie Mekchin. And these people had some great music about the transition period between genocide and, let's say, resurrection, between crucifixion and resurrection. And of course, I don't think they intended it that way. I'm just analyzing it now, sitting back so many years afterwards and looking at it. But basically, this was the transition group, the people that had come over. Their parents were genocide survivors. They had music, and much of the music included Turkish language, because I, in fact, remember my grandmothers would be singing many songs, many sad songs, depressing songs in the Turkish language. And I had a chance to learn them. And, one of my favorite artists, Richard Hagopian, who's from the Central Valley here in California, one of my absolute favorite artists. Much of his music is sung in the Turkish language. And I always consider it Armenian music. I don't think that Turks would be able to create such intense melodies that spoke to the soul. Because there is a lot of depression in there, a lot of struggle. Much like the blues, you know, the blues that came out of Black America. We always have to remember that rock and roll music came out of the blues. And what was the blues? It was these artists that were singing about the difficulties that they were enduring in their lives. And you listen to some of the old blues artists. I mean, very intense lyrics as well as melody lines that seem simple on the outside, but they talk right to your heart, right? And where did that all come from? Where did that develop from? Well, you go back far enough and you see that here in America, you had the slave, the chain gangs, and they would be singing these songs, these songs that would be about freedom, about getting out of their experience, out of their suffering. And a lot of Christian songs, okay? Not about resurrection, but about the suffering, that identity that they had with the cross of Christ. And so I'm very intrigued by the development of these songs. And the two artists that I mentioned earlier, Guy Chukwurian and Ed Mekjen, they had written a selection of songs back in the, I would say, 40s, 50s, 60s of the last century. And it was the experience of that follow-up generation, the first generation of Armenians that were here. One particular song, I was listening to it actually this morning, and it's called Kharnatsi. It's about this Armenian kid that he says, and I'll just paraphrase it, obviously it's in Armenian, but he talks about, you know, he says, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I married a non-Armenian and I took her home to my mother, and my mother chewed me out. She called me Kharnatsi. Kharnatsi means you mixture, you inbreed, I guess. I guess that would be the appropriate translation. And he says, I wish I had listened to my mother. Even if I had gotten married to an Armenian, even if she was a prostitute, it would have been better than having my mother call me Kharnatsi. And this is the generation that the first generation of Armenians that were struggling with the identity issues, okay? And then the song ends on a positive note. He says, and then I had a child, and I took this child to my mom. And when my mom saw how beautiful the child was, she said, I can never call you Kharnatsi again. Yeah, this is basically Armenian blues. It's telling you a story in a rather efficient manner, using a little bit of humor in there too. And it's a ballad. It's telling you a little story along the way, but it's also describing the plight of a generation of people that were trying to establish identity. Now, there's a whole slew of these songs. And like I said, I'm so determined. I'm going to do a piece of writing, and maybe I'll do something special on a future next step using some of this. But think about the blues in itself. One of my favorite artists, John Lee Hooker, passed away a few years ago, but I had the wonderful chance of seeing him several times in concert. Listen to this one, okay? He's talking, it's called Alamonia Blues. What is it? The woman is suing him for his back alimony. And he writes about it, and he talks about it.
You let it pile up, all the back alimony, baby. You come downtown and told the judge, I hadn't give you a thing and give you a thing. And you know that I couldn't show no receipt for it. You lied to me. And baby, baby, why you treat me this way, baby? I tried to talk to the judge. He told me to shut up. I couldn't reduce the receipt. My wife was trying, she was trying.
And the question is, has he learned his lesson?
I never do that again.
Music is a very, very powerful medium. And is there any wonder that our Badarak, the Holy Divine Liturgy, is chanted, is sung? I made an unorthodox means of getting to the point today, because we are doing a series called Exploring the Mysteries of the Divine Liturgy. And if you haven't had a chance to follow it, please check it out. It's on our YouTube channel at Armodoxy. And I will put a link on today's show notes for you. But do check it out. Each of them are about an hour long. So far, we've done two sessions. We have another one coming up next Wednesday. But we talk about a holistic approach to the Divine Liturgy. And the reason for this is because so often we talk about technicalities. We talk about the technical means, okay? You talk to somebody about going to the Divine Liturgy, and their first thing is, well, I haven't fasted. You know, well, okay, I need to wear a head garment. I need to do this or that. You know, it's about being holistically involved, completely. I mean, is there anything more holistic than the Holy Divine Liturgy? You use all of your senses, all five senses. You taste the Holy Communion. You reach out and you touch people during the kiss of peace. You hear with your ears, you visualize, you see the radiance in the vestments, and let's see, what did we miss? The tasting, and the smell. Oh yeah, the olfactory senses are at play too, right? You have the incense going, and you have all these symbols coming in, and you're processing it, with your sixth sense. And this is really important, okay? The sixth sense, of course, being the soul, what the soul brings to the equation. It's not just a question of seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, but it's also emotionally to be involved in that liturgy. And certainly music does that for us. So when we go to the Divine Liturgy, it's a celebration. And this is what we fail to do. So this series that we're doing right now, exploring the mysteries of the Divine Liturgy, it is a mystery. It is a mystery, the Divine Liturgy. It is something that is beyond us. It's a way of flying with the angels. It's about connecting with the angels. What we often do is we try to bring the divine to human standards. We do this all the time. Okay, there's some problem in the world and we try to explain the divine. We try to explain it in our terms. We got to think beyond that and think of what the divine might be capable of. And so there is a mystery involved, something that the Divine Liturgy connects us to that is bigger than ourselves. And so when you use the music, this incredible medium that we have, this opportunity to sing, to hear, to feel that music in the Divine Liturgy. And as shared with you, listen to this, Chorut Chorin, mystery deep, inscrutable. This is Lucine Zakaria. Where does that place you? That takes you to a different place, doesn't it, right? Takes you to a place beyond this earth. If you close your eyes and listen to just that short little segment that I played right now, right? It connects you to something bigger than yourself. And so the Divine Liturgy, once you not understand the words, but understand the entire meaning of it, you start celebrating it. And so the songs aren't these depressing songs, but they're celebratory. In the past 100 years, I'd say, the Divine Liturgy has gotten to be a very depressing occasion. And the music has followed the plight of the people, okay? The people have gone through so much suffering. In fact, it was only 200 years ago that Der Vohormia was introduced into the Divine Liturgy. It is not part of the text. Der Vohormia, Lord, have mercy. We're going through so much pain. Give peace to the world. heal the sick, give rest to those people who have died. Very, very sad music. And really, the Divine Liturgy is celebration. Imagine this. If you understood the concept of the Divine Liturgy, it is the celebration of the last meal with Christ. Christ giving of himself for the salvation of all of us. I want you to think beyond that eternal life equation. I've shared this with you many, many times, and more and more that I live, I understand. Christ is not here about telling us about a life to come. There is a celebration in this life right now. Like, for instance, one of the vestments that the priest wears, that the deacons wear too, is the stole. And that is the yoke that Christ talks about. Where is it? Matthew chapter 11. He talks about that. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Wow. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And we always think about, well, there's an eternal life and we will have rest for our souls. Yes, trust me, you're going to have rest for your souls. What Christ is talking about is the right now, the here and now, where every one of us needs that rest of the soul, okay? Our souls need to be at peace. We are struggling with all kinds of relationship issues, financial issues, health issues, and all of a sudden we come down to it and we say we are stressed. Christ is talking about this inner peace that you can tap into right now. That's what the Divine Liturgy is about. It's about that celebration every Sunday. That out of the 168 hours that you have throughout the week, you have this 1 hour out of that 168 that you can come and connect to something holistically, completely, with all of your body, mind, and soul. And understand that your soul can be at peace right now. Your spirit deserves a peace. You deserve to be at rest, each and every one of us. We're exploring that. Exploring the mysteries of the Divine Liturgy. But it takes courage. It takes us to go out of the norm, go out of the box. Because everybody tells you what Christianity is about, you know, saving the soul. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven because Jesus loves me.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus.
That's the best. Yeah, well, we're conditioned with that. We're conditioned with this idea that Christianity is about a life to come. No, Christianity is about right now. It's about getting yourself together. And by getting yourself together, you get the earth, the world together. It is a big challenge. I think what we talked about throughout this whole podcast today, the entire In His Shoes metaphor, is about doing something for other people. Well, it begins with you having the strength to do it yourself. The walk that we took for Avon, it means nothing if I was unable to walk it, right? So I needed to stand up. I needed to train. I needed to be ready to walk. And then when I walk, I'm walking in the shoes of others. You can't walk in the shoes of others until you can walk, right? Okay, very simple. So you have to get it together. And music, getting back to the music that we're talking about right now, gives us this opportunity to really express ourselves with the sixth sense. Okay, we can use our voice, we can use our hearing, and we can interact with the music that comes out, but you need to put your sixth sense into it, the spirit and the soul. Well, I think you know what this music means. It means that Susie is ready to tell us what we need to do. All of us, pray and pray often.
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So we look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. A very important announcement. You know, what we're doing over here, and especially recently, the work is escalating. By the way, I hope we are having a better podcast quality-wise than we were before. We are just we're in the middle of switching over equipment, and Ken tells me everything is coming along okay. We are on one of the old computers, and we hope to have this completely, totally resolved by next week. I've been telling you this for a couple weeks, but it all depends on all of us participating. And so we appreciate all of your prayers, all of your comments, and your donations. Being part of this ministry is about getting this word out. Most important thing that you can do, more than a check, more than pressing that donate button, and I'm serious about that. I appreciate all the donations, but tell people about it. Most people think that going to church is about checking your brain in at the door and saying, okay, I'm an idiot, and I'll just sit here, and I'll just absorb, and then afterwards, I'll just go home and get on with my life. That's not what our music, our liturgy, and our church is about. Unfortunately, that's what it's come down to. One of the biggest problems that we have in all of the mainline churches is what? Is youth in the church. Well, think about where the head of youth are. The other day I was watching an episode of, it's really cool. They've been showing it, Shark Tank. I love that show. You know, it tells you how to really entice entrepreneurs into buying into your product. Well, while we're watching, we see this commercial, and it's for one of these sitcoms, and the guy comes in, and he's got a woman with him, and he tells the other kids that are in the room that, hey, me and my girlfriend, we're going to go, it's not even a girlfriend, somebody just picked up, we're going to go into the back room right now, and we'll be out in a few minutes, and there's the usual laugh track, ha ha ha, you know, they laugh about, you don't know what it is, I guess it's to make us laugh too, right? Is that what laugh tracks are about? Make us laugh too. And I'm thinking, you know, our world is in such a situation right now where there is a flow, and our church is something outside of the flow. So when you come into church, it's these foreign costumes that people are wearing. It's a foreign language that they're speaking, and it has no connection. So you could go through it once, twice, but you're not going to go through it a third or fourth time unless it actually talks to you. And by taking the entire liturgy for what it is, understanding the church as the body of Christ interacting with the world today, That's what this ministry is about. Taking the ancient Armenian tradition that we have. This is the most ancient of all Christian traditions. The first Christian nation, Armenia. And we have this incredible pearl with us. And Christ tells us, when you find that incredible pearl, then you are like that merchant who goes out there and sells everything to acquire that pearl. I'm at that point right now. I've got to do it. Because I see so much value in our church. And it's basically lost. It's lost because a few people, and I seriously mean a few, although it's the majority, few people have decided that this is what the church should be. Don't chew gum. Don't cross your legs. Wear a scarf. Do this or do that. No, it's about celebrating Christ in our lives. And you get into a good church that has that celebratory atmosphere in it, you will understand what I'm talking about. I hope you can get into a church, a community like that near you. But more important, get this word out to the people that this is what it's about. This is what Christianity is about. Christ said, I came to give you life right now and to give you that life abundantly. It's got to feel good. It's got to make sense. With all the tragedies and difficulties we have in our lives, life has to make sense. We are at the end of today's show. I wanted to talk a little bit more, but I hope you enjoyed it. I kind of did a little different thing today. Played around with some music, let you know where I am with my space in my head. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to invite you to our Facebook pages. Follow me. Get in touch with me. Do whatever you want. Epostle.net has a Facebook page as well. If you subscribe to these podcasts, they come right into your email box. There's an app on our website at epostle.net. We're going for a major overhaul. Hopefully, we're going to be unveiling that in October. So don't keep me to that date, but I've been told that by October, we should have a major overhaul to the websites and everything we're doing. But until then, and until next week, I want you to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. I want to thank you for joining us on behalf of Susie, our producer, Valher, our webman, and Ken, our engineer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.